we're looking at potash, at uranium, at natural gas, at oil, at grains. What can we do to expand global market share? What can we do to make sure we're reaching markets more efficiently? We know that people want it from us. How can we get to them at a competitive price? Because I think they'll buy it if it's a competitive price. But if you try sometime, it just might find.
Good morning and Merry Christmas to our Ukrainian friends and family. It's Ukrainian Christmas today. So a lot of people probably full from the 12 meatless dishes meal last night. Lots of celebrations going on today in the province, that's for sure. And I am so glad to have you here because we've got a full show today. We will talk Venezuela. Surprise, surprise. That's been a topic on our show every day this week. We'll look at it from a few angles. We'll talk about this new appointment for Chrystia Freeland. I've got Brian Lilly joining us just after nine. We'll talk with him and then you about that. Also, this tragic incident from Wynyard, a person found deceased in their home and dozens of cats, many in very poor health, is garnering a lot of attention. That'll be a topic of discussion today as well. Brian Zinchuk from pipelineonline.ca for his regular visit, the first installation of Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener, and a whole lot more. Lots going on. Let's get going with today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we? Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, as I mentioned, Venezuela has been a big topic of discussion, and this matters to Saskatchewan primarily through energy markets. The situation underscores, I would suggest, how exposed we can be to shifts in U.S. policy and the importance of advancing energy projects here at home, expanding and diversifying our portfolio, something that our premier has been talking about for quite some time. And I welcome Premier Scott Moe for his first visit of 2026 this morning by phone from his office. Premier Moe, thank you so much for taking the call.
Happy New Year to you, Evan, and I think a very merry Ukrainian Christmas to a good portion of the provinces of Saskatchewan as well.
Have you had a Ukrainian Christmas meal before, Premier?
I have. even larger than a regular Christmas meal.
I was going to say, it's quite the experience for sure. So, yeah, I know there will be a lot of people enjoying those today. Okay, let's talk about Venezuela to start. Maybe just give me your thoughts, if you don't mind, Premier. What does this mean for Saskatchewan in terms of all of this talk around the redevelopment of their oil?
Well, just maybe it's important just to understand a little bit that a barrel of oil is not essentially a barrel of oil. There's heavier crude, lighter crude, different types of oil. The thing with Venezuela is they actually produce a very close product to what we produce not only in Saskatchewan but in Alberta as well. And so to some degree it's interchangeable with Western Canadian oil, and that's I think the basis of where our concerns come from. Should some of that oil shift from where it's going now, which is largely China, to the U.S., it's about a million barrels a day. It's fluctuated up to a high of 3 million barrels a few decades ago, but through a lack of investment by their state-owned company, that's down to about a million barrels a day. The oil, there's a lot to happen in order for Venezuelan oil to come and replace Canadian oil or Saskatchewan oil, which largely goes to the U.S. 95% of our oil goes to the U.S. because we don't have that market or that ability to send it to the West Coast and send it to the rest of the world. And so I think the concern that we would have from our province, and Alberta likely mirrors this concern, is should that Venezuelan oil cease some investment and diverted not only existing production but additional production into the U.S., displacing Canadian oil, which I don't think it can easily, we would have to then be able to provide our product to other countries around the world, which I think we should be doing anyway. Thus, the importance of the MOU that was signed by Prime Minister Carney and Premier Danielle Smith. And I think the more immediate conversation that we need to get very serious about is can we expand some of the capacity in existing pipelines that we have, like TMX, to the West Coast. So it's a like product. A lot of investment needs to happen in order for it to, A, get to the U.S., and B, increase any of their production numbers. And so I don't think it's an immediate threat, but it's one that we should certainly be paying attention to and doing the right thing by providing the world access to the products that we're producing in Western Canada today. And I think we have ample opportunity to expand our production in the years ahead if we make the right decisions today. So that's, in a nutshell, what's happening here.
Does this help, Premier Moe, the importance the message that is delivered to Ottawa on the importance of oil for our country? Like, I think about, you know, I've heard our federal politicians speak about, well, Venezuela isn't necessarily attractive in terms of investment right now because there's not a lot of stability. You and I have talked about the policy and regulation in Canada that also disincentivizes, if you will, investment in our oil industry. Will this change things?
Well, I think it definitely changes things when the President of the United States does what they have done in the last week expressly because they have an interest in accessing the Venezuelan oil, the oil industry there, the barrels per day that they're producing. So certainly things have changed in a big way. I liken it to a race, and I think we've been in this race for quite some time. But we are now in a race where, the American companies are going to make investments likely in the Venezuelan oil industry. We need to ensure that we're making parallel investments in providing our oil industry access to the world, or providing, I guess, in reverse, the world access to our Canadian oil industry. And that's through expanding TMX, the capacity we have there. That's through doing the work, and there's some work that needs to be done on the engagement side, and I think you saw the Minister of Energy in Alberta commit today to doing some of that work. On a new pipeline to the West Coast as well. And you know what? I heard Premier Eby talk about increasing our refinery capacity as well. And
what do you think of that?
That type of investment. Yeah. I think that's a good idea. However, it's been premiers, largely, I would say, NDP premiers like Premier Eby that have really, been hesitant, resistant, not advocating in any way for a regulatory environment where that investment could actually come, private investment in to maybe British Columbia or Western Canada to build a new refinery so that we can be producing a refined product. But mm-hmm. I welcome his change of heart in that space. There's an opportunity there as well. But if we have to get very serious, and you mentioned this at the outset, about the regulatory environment that we're operating within here today. To ensure that we have the stability of our existing supply, having access to the world, not just to the United States. I said earlier, Saskatchewan's 95% reliant on the United States by default. And second is that we have a regulatory environment that's attracting that investment to increase our production and maybe even increase some of the refining capacity and providing that to the world. All good ideas.
Mm-hmm. Premier, before we move on to another topic here, I just one more question on oil. I'm wondering what the fluctuation in the markets when it comes to oil prices, what that will mean for our budget. I think our budget number pegged oil prices at $71 a barrel. It's down in the 50s right now. Can you give us thoughts on that?
Yeah, we're off on, and everyone's off. Alberta's off, Newfoundland's off, Canada's off on their budget as well with respect to where the oil price is versus what it was projected to be by industry forecasts and investor forecasts at budget time. So we will be down. I don't have the number on me at the moment, but we will be down on what our oil revenues are. However, I believe our production continues to increase ever so slightly. And I think there's opportunities for us to increase it quite dramatically should we have that more solid investment environment and a commitment that we're going to be able to access the world with Saskatchewan and Canadian barrels of oil. But it is going to be a challenge in the near term for not only the federal government, but Saskatchewan, Alberta, and to some degree Manitoba as well. Mm-hmm.
We're about 3 months away from the next budget. Is it fair to say there may be a more conservative estimate?
Well, how we arrive at the estimates on whether it be potash, uranium, oil, any of the goods and the royalties that we have on behalf of the Saskatchewan people is the industry estimates that come out as we over the course of the next year, but they come out as we near budget time. And so that's what we use are the industry efforts estimates, pardon me. That's what we used last year. That's what we use every year. And I will likely use them again, but I would expect that those estimates will be down from last year, certainly. But we're living in a pretty erratic time when it comes to natural resource pricing around the world, market access, tariffs, all of those things that are, impacting, many of Saskatchewan and Canadian products around the world. So, I said in our year-end interviews, uncertainty was certainly the word of 2025 for the economy anyways. And I think that seems to be continuing in the first few days of 2026.
Prime Minister Mark Carney has given you credit, Premier Mo, for the work that you have done, the groundwork, the relationships you've built with China. We find out this morning that he is planning a visit to China next week and on the agenda of many things. Agriculture tariffs is one of them. This is probably not news to you. Can you talk about the discussions you've had with the Prime Minister on this?
Yes, and this is a good. This is a good thing to be, you know, I guess fostering or increasing the relationship that we have with not only China, but you know, our credibility more generally in the international space or sphere. It's, you know, that credibility has been neglected over the course of the last decade by the previous guy, and Prime Minister Carney does appear to be placing a fairly high focus on increasing Canada's credibility in the international space, and that includes engagement with China. So that'd be the first thing I'd say. The second thing I'd say is if we are truly serious about, you know, diversifying our economy to many countries around the world, this is one of the largest. And so any diversification efforts of selling existing products like maybe oil, like, you know, canola, we want to increase our sales of canola into places like China and other products. China has to be part of that conversation. Now, there are certain, you know, security concerns and parts of that conversation that are sensitive, but they do need to be part of that conversation, and they need to be part of our, you know, trade relationship and market access conversation moving forward. So I'm happy to hear that Prime Minister Carney's going. We've been talking about the potential for this in January for a number of weeks now, myself and other premiers with the Prime Minister's office. And this is exactly what he should be doing. I would, however, say that when it comes to dealing with China, it can be a little slow and tedious at times, more slow than I'd like to see it. It's more like a process as opposed to an event. Sometimes these tariffs come on as an event, but the process of removing them takes some time, but it takes multiple visits like this. And there has been. Cody Bloise has been on the ground in China numerous times, and that's a positive as well.
Can you, I know there was a meeting that you had with the Prime Minister and the other premiers just before Christmas. Can you give us a sense of other agenda items that were discussed there?
Yeah, there was a lot discussed at that, you know, and more broadly was the discussion around our international relations and how, you know, what we're doing not only in the China, with the China file, but what we're the federal government is doing to continue to engage with the Americans. And so we appreciate the update from the Prime Minister. There's feedback that we're able to provide as premiers on, you know, specifically what is impacting, you know, our particular province. And that varies across the nation. There's definitely differences on the level of impact and, you know, what industries are impacted. But this China visit was starting to be broached at that point in time. And I've had the opportunity to have some discussions with the Prime Minister's office in the last number of days as well as he starts to solidify a few days in China, and as we've seen, he's been in many other countries as well, and that's all part of not fixing, but certainly strengthening our you know, the trade relations that we have with so many countries around the world that just weren't prioritized the last decade. And so this is a welcome change of focus and priority.
Can I ask, maybe just as our last question here, we've only got about a minute left. Premier Scott Moe is my guest. With the United States, does this recent situation with Venezuela, some of the rhetoric we're hearing about Greenland, does this cause the job that the federal government has to renegotiate CUSMA to be more challenging? Do you have more worry about things going forward?
Well, you know, we get back to that word uncertainty. Yeah, no, it's a hell of a challenging conversation, not only with the U.S., but some of the indirect impacts that we're seeing in China and other countries around the world. And so it's very, very choppy waters and, you know, uncertainty in every conversation that we have, regardless of who the country is right now. However, I think Canada is increasingly being recognized as having some, you know, I'd quote the president, but is having some cards to play when it comes to, you know, securing food supply, securing energy supply, critical minerals, all those sorts of things. And in particular, Saskatchewan's at the very center of that as well. We saw a significant uranium nuclear deal signed with a Saskatchewan company and the United States of America. I think you're going to see more of that type of action with countries around the world, directly with some of the companies that are operating in Saskatchewan, whether it be mining companies, agri-food companies, whether it be energy companies. So lots of cause for concern, and lots going on. There's a lot of phone calls that are being made between the provinces and the Prime Minister's office, and the provinces and the national government and other countries around the world. And we just got to stay the course, keep our relations strong, and, you know, find our way to the best landing spot that we can with as many countries as we can.
You know, these are such important conversations. The ability to check in with you on a fairly regular basis is very much appreciated. So thank you again, Premier.
Thank you, Evan. And again, Happy New Year to all your listeners.
Premier Scott Moe, Premier of Saskatchewan. Lots of good reaction and information in there from the Premier. We're going to take a break. We're getting set for open lines after 9 here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.